VentureCast.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Being a plus-size model, I mean, there's got to be way more stress than being a regular model, I would think. Like, it comes with the, you know, the stress of being a regular model plus being a plus-size. You don't know who to trust, especially in the industry where there's, you know, predators or even just scam artists, that, you know, like scam artists in different companies, right? How do you make that judgment on who to trust? Like when you found an agent, mm-hmm. right? And remember I told you I was looking at agents before when it came to acting and doing comedy. I was like, all these people want money. And I'm like, I don't know if they're gonna do anything for me, and I can't find reviews on these people, so I don't know who's who. How did you find yourself an agent?
Well, I submitted my photos and I met with the agency, and it was the first company I've ever met with that wasn't like, give me money, you gotta pay this, you gotta pay that before you start. So they were honest with me about everything and the meetings with the clients and everything like that. But I don't know. I figured if somebody locally was like promoting, this agency, I just felt like they wouldn't be promoting like a bad one. Yeah. Usually the agencies that I are like, give me money or but you have to buy this package prior, are agencies that or you find on an ad or something like that. So
those people have to promote
because
it
was a personal reference. I just was like, well, I don't have to sign anything. I could just go meet with these people and see what they're talking about, and I liked what they were talking about. So.
That's good. And what is that like when they set you up for appointments or like for gigs? How does that go?
What do you mean? How does that go?
Like, because the agency finds places for you to model, right? Mm-hmm. And then eventually they got you into Old Navy, mm-hmm. right? How did that come about?
Old Navy was looking for fit models at the time, and I just happened to be like the measurements that they were looking for.
Yeah.
But as far as going back to your statement on like, whether being plus size or regular, like the pressures of that, I actually didn't feel any pressure. I actually was a little bit smaller when I started modeling, and they encouraged me to eat a donut or two.
That's crazy. It's a whole different world.
Yeah, because the way my body is, you know, laid out, it's like a, you know,
curvy.
So. Yeah. My waist is smaller, my hips and thighs are bigger, so I was already like at their measurements, but smaller in the waist. Mm. So I had some space, but I do have to maintain. But that's even like the smaller models. So I don't do print modeling for companies yet, but that's just because my availability is so limited.
Oh, gotcha. Now, what about other forms of modeling? What else have you done?
Aside from my own photo shoots, mm-hmm. I've been in a couple of music videos.
I was gonna ask. I was like, yo, I know you did some music videos.
Yeah, but it was more so like I'm all for supporting my people, so it wasn't like professional.
Yeah.
It was more so like me just supporting other people.
I
know a lot of like local artists and things like that. So. Yeah.
Being a plus size model, there's got to be a lot of thirsty guys online for the plus size.
I'd be ignoring.
I look at your live and I'm like, you guys really?
I be ignoring my DMs sometimes. No, it gets overwhelming. It gets overwhelming. I just can't. And like, there's like a sense of entitlement with these men, and like thinking that they, yes, like people would think that they deserve. I don't know. Like, I understand if you speak like you deserve a response. I get that. I understand. But that's like in person. If you know, you know, I sometimes I don't even see messages. Sometimes it gets so like. No, so like the people who need to get a hold of me know how to get a hold of me. And if you don't know how to get a hold of me, you're just gonna have to catch me outside. I don't know.
Exactly.
Catch me outside.
Catch me outside. How about that? Let's see.
Absolutely.
So you come from Sacramento. How's it? I mean, me and my girl, we were looking at houses out there. What is it? I mean, there's a housing crisis going on, mm-hmm. right? Single mom, you're hustling. Is it possible for even a girl like you to afford a house?
Well, now that I have like multiple hustles, absolutely. But you know, a year ago I was not in this position.
Yeah.
So a year ago I was living paycheck to paycheck, and
as most of us are.
And in the last year, I've not only added a car note, but I've also added, you know, my rent. I moved into a new place, but I wanted to do that for my son. So I slept on my sister's couch for like 5 months to be able to save, to kind of put myself in a better position. So
it's a different transition when you're so used to couch surfing and then you get a bed. It's almost hard to leave the couch when you have your own bed.
It was definitely not hard for me to leave my sister's couch to go back to my bed. Nothing was harder than, like, it's one thing if you stay with somebody because you have to.
Yeah.
It's a complete, like, I didn't technically have to. I had my whole.
Sacrificed.
Right. Yeah. I was like, well, if I'm going to up my rent $500, $600, I need to be smart about that, or I'm going to drown myself when I do it.
Yeah.
So I just had to make that step because, yeah, I was, no.
I feel it.
So, yeah, there definitely is a housing crisis. I don't understand why the rent is so ridiculously high. Yeah. But, no, I think you have to have multiple hustles nowadays in order to be a single person, male or female, to, and it just makes it a little bit harder when you have a kid.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, you. It's like Pac said. When he came to the Bay, he was like, the Bays will tell me how, put me up on game. You have to hustle on it.
Right. You have to.
Even when Pac was a lot of shit, it was still an expensive place to live. You had to have more than one hustle. And I was always taught that, like, have more than one hustle. Never put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, see, and I've just always, because of, like, my growing up and everything like that, in my mind, it was like college. Good job. Like, there was no, you have to have multiple hustles. I was just so trying to, like, not be like my parents, or to not end up, you know, on drugs or 10 kids. And, you know, my parents do not have 10 kids.
But shout, you know, out to those who do.
Right, shout out to those who do. But, like, I just was trying so hard not to be like that. I wanted to get married, have kids, go to college, you know. And so the fact that I have started, you know, developing different hustles, it's been interesting. But I'm loving it. It's definitely exhausting, but it's worth it.
I know your morals. I know your family values. And then shout out, there's no shade if you do. But was there ever temptation to go with the height of OnlyFans, because everybody was jumping on OnlyFans.
Absolutely.
Right? The money they was getting, then that shit. If I could have, I would have been on OnlyFans.
Oh my gosh, yes. There was like always in the back of my mind. I mean, even with stripping.
like
when I was in college, I was like, you know, yeah. I might as well go do that. Because, you know, maybe go do something strange for a little change. No, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I was like, I messed around. I think I was on Snapchat. And I was like, due to popular request, I will be dropping my own fans tonight. And everybody's like, "Why are you really doing it?" I was like, "Nah, I'm just listening." That's weird.
Yeah, no. So, shout out to those women, you know, who are hustling and getting their money that way. I just couldn't do it. Like I said, like, even, I mean, my views have changed a little bit, but like, I was very much marriage, family oriented. Like, that's all I wanted. So,
I feel it.
But who doesn't want to get paid for their body? The heck? Body? Who doesn't want to get paid? Shoot, that's technically what I do, just for disaster.
I didn't want to say it.
I just don't got to get naked for them. That's all. But technically, they're paying me to my money.
You graduated university, college. Shout out to that. That's awesome. We need more educated people out here that come from the struggle. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Would you say it is worth it?
Going to college?
Mm-hmm.
For me, absolutely. For the average person, I don't know. Because there was so much, like, I mean, I still do have, you know, a good amount of debt from college. But I didn't get hit as hard because I had so much support financially being a foster kid. So to me, it was worth it because I've been able to, like, quadruple my income since college. I graduated in 2016, so the fact that I was making, you know, four times less, you know, back in college, and I've been able to do that, it's really been because of my college degree.
Nice.
So, to me, it was worth it. But I do know that there's a lot of people who go to college and don't use their college degree. So then it was $30,000 in debt for no reason.
Yeah.
But
it's stressful because, like me, I don't have a college degree. It's stressful because I've had to outwork everybody and outshine everybody just to fight for the job. And then once I get the job, I have to make sure I deliver. So I've always been the rock star in every company I've ever been in. Like, I've literally given people, companies, their first $1 million month off the sales I generated. And I was like, nobody hustles harder than someone who came from the struggle. And I told that to a boss, the manager of this company one time. I was a headhunter, and he took me out to lunch. He goes, "So you don't even have a college degree? You know you have to have a bachelor's degree to work here, right?" I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "Why did you apply?" I go, "I just thought I'd be a good asset to this team." He goes, "Tell me right now why I shouldn't fire you." I was like, put my fork down, eating my pizza, trying to be all sophisticated. Right? I was like, "Well, unlike those four college graduates that you just hired along with me, I've been in sales since I was little. This isn't my first sales job. And unlike them, if this doesn't work out, they can run back to mommy and daddy.
Right.
I can't. My parents live 4 hours away. They're depending on me to help them pay their rent, and they live 4 hours away. And I got a kid on the way. This means more to me than it will ever mean to them." And he goes,
"Yeah, no, I know a lot of people like that too." Yeah. Like, I know some hardworking people, even one of my coworkers, she's one of the most hardest working, experienced people I know in my field.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's a downfall to not have that degree. Mm-hmm.
But those, like, there's, you come from the struggle, you got your degree. There's a different, mm-hmm. it's a different kind mm-hmm. of grind in you. You know what I'm saying? These were like people who had just graduated college. They didn't have to work. They were set. Like, Yeah, you know?
Yes.
So it was different. And he was like, "Man, you know, now I was closing deals. I was closing $100,000 deals every week." So it was just, it was something built into me. Well, I guess it's the nervousness when you have your back against the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, my first job definitely taught me a lot about just kind of hustling, because I'd never been in like sales. I'd worked at like a flower shop, so I was a part of like customer service and stuff like that, but I was not a part of, you know, like really having to sell myself. And so my first job, you know, I am a geriatric care manager and home care is not cheap. So I have clients who, you know, are paying $20,000 a month for services.
Goddamn.
So it's a month. And so you have to talk them into spending that money and showing them that, like, your company is worth and your care management skills are worth all of that. So,
but we'll get right back to that. We're going to have another commercial. Thank you guys for listening. Don't stop listening because we're going to get into some more details of this life. Thank you.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together, we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Mile, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the Wannabet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but Wannabet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electric acid. Electric acid.